thank you for your faithful giving of God's tithes and your offerings today. Continue to pray for Dave Schultz, and appreciate Miss Elizabeth sharing last week. If you weren't here, it's on the website. Listen to her message about prayer and even what she's going through as a family. But continue to pray for Dave. He's home receiving treatment. Let's believe God for a miracle. Amen? Amen. Well, one of my goals is trying to read through the Bible in a year. How many kind of had that goal before? What I've done is I pick a different translation, one that isn't marked up with highlights and underlined verses, you know, things like that. And I start fresh and begin reading. And I've read through the Living Bible, and I've done the New International Bible, NIV, and I'm almost done. This one's called the Today's English Version Bible, the TEV. And so I've got my marks in there of different parts of the Bible that I'm reading. So going through for a year. And I haven't decided, I'm almost done. I haven't decided which translation I'm going to read next for the year. But as soon as I look for a Bible that isn't marked up and it's clean, and I can just go and do my highlights all over again, whatever God's leading on my heart. I also want to read the verse of the day. I also read the verse of the day in the YouVersion Bible app. I know I've mentioned this before, but this is an app that's been downloaded a billion times by a billion devices around the world. And along, you know, there's guided scripture, there's guided prayer, there's devotionals in this app, there's different translations. It goes, if you have a phone, your phone's with you, you have the Word of God with you wherever you go, on a break, at lunch. You have time to read it. You can also push play and it'll read it to you. Encourage you to, that's the logo, so there's other Bible apps in the store, but grab this one. It's a great, there's devotions on, you know, marriage or family or, you know, anger, whatever it is, that whatever you're going through, there's daily devotions that will encourage you. Get the Word of God inside of you. So I'm going to encourage you with that. I don't just read the Bible, incidentally, just because I'm a pastor. That's your job, right? You're supposed to read the Bible. I've been following Jesus long before being a full-time minister. So I am in the Word. I know that some of us might be thinking that, you know, this is another sermon to read my Bible, another message to remind me how I don't read my Bible enough, another talk to make me feel bad, to make me feel guilty. See, I hope that's not what you're thinking. But I believe deeply that we all need to be reading and obeying God's Word. And I hope that you are doing that. If we aren't reading or in the habit of spending time in this book, how will we know what is true or not? How do we know? Especially when society and social media and the news, they're trying to convince us what the truth is, what you make it. You live your truth, I'll live mine. And look at the state of the world currently. It's not exactly working out. There must be something that will guide us in this life. Something true, true north. How do you know I'm preaching and teaching the Word of God correctly? How do you know that? We must know what God's Word says, and that means we read it, we study it, we listen to it, we learn, we grow, we obey it, and we share it. It gets inside of us, right? It gets into our spirit, and it changes us from the inside out. Most believe it's a holy book. I would say most Americans believe it's a holy book among other holy books throughout history. Some believe portions of the Bible, right? Some of the stories seem pretty fantastical, or they seem pretty hard to believe or true. Others don't really believe the Bible at all, or they haven't taken the time to read Scripture for themselves with an open mind. Some just rely on what is preached to church, and I hope not, and what their spouse tells them. This is what the Bible says. Okay, right? Some just know it as a book in the drawer next to the bed at the hotel. But still, there are others who believe it is the infallible Word of God. This rarely happens to me, but I felt God wake me up early one morning, not too long ago, and speak to my heart about a message. I quickly grabbed my phone next to my bed and began to type in the notes app what the Lord was putting on my heart furiously. What else is there to truly guide our lives? What else is there? What else will tell us the truth about our sin, about our heart condition? Where else can we know the good news that Jesus saves? What is our approach to reading God's Word? What is our approach to reading this book? So that's what I've titled my message this morning, Five Approaches to God's Word. This is what I feel God put on my heart a few months ago, and I'm bringing it this morning. I realize there are seasons of life that everyone goes through. Seasons of something new in the Lord, right? There's a new bud of growth at like springtime. And those are wonderful seasons. Seasons of continued deeper growth, like summer, where God showed you something you needed and it transformed you. You began to blossom and bloom, and God did the work. There are seasons of change, like fall. Maybe you feel stuck or you're starting to fade and nothing is growing in your heart. Then there are seasons of gray, no life, feeling dead spiritually, like winter, where it seems God is distant, He's cold, or that He's silent. We've all had those amazing mountaintop experiences with God where God touched us in a special, unique way, and we've also experienced the lonely valleys where life is difficult and hard and lonely and dark. We've been to the top and we've been in the valleys. But the one constant that everyone needs to remember is that God never leaves you or abandons you, ever. God is still on the throne over your situation, over your relationships. Do we believe that this morning? But know this, God still longs to speak to you through His Word. He longs to speak to you through this book. Allow me to ask the question this morning. What is your approach to God's Word? What is your approach to God's Word? Think about that for a second, because it matters how you approach it. What is your daily habit? What is your attitude toward it? What's your heart's posture? See, this is what I don't want you to do right now. To feel condemned, to feel like a failure, to feel God is mad or disappointed in you. I want you to stop. That's not of the Lord. That is not of the Lord. This is what I want you to do, to open your heart to the Holy Spirit, to respond to His gentle leading, His gentle nudging, His gentle conviction. Truly listen with your heart today. Let's just stop and not go through the motions on January 11th, 2026. 2025 is in the path. Let's look for something new. I want to share five approaches to God and see which one you fall in at times in your approach to the Lord. It may be that you approach God with all five, or one or two, or number three and number one, whatever. Figure out which approach you have had at times with God. So the first, you may approach the Word of God mindlessly. You may have approached God's Word mindlessly. It's not registering what you're reading. You know what? I'll just stop right here. Time out. I've had to wrestle with this myself. Okay, I'm not preaching to you and saying, you guys are bad. I've looked in the mirror. I spent time with the Lord. It's not registering what you're reading, what God is wanting to say to you. You open Scripture, but your mind is on getting to work on time or getting your kids off to school. Your mind is rushed with what you must do today. You sit down, maybe in your chair, to read God's Word, but what happens oftentimes, you fall asleep. Your mind is tired as you try to spend a few moments in His Word before bed, but you can't remember what you just read. Or you sit down, you open your Bible, or you open the Bible app, and you read it, and you close the book, or you shut the app, and you move on with your day. I read my Bible today. I can check that off my box. It's another thing to check off my to-do list for today. You're mentally reading His Word without thinking about what you're actually reading. You're in a hurry. You're exhausted. You're trying to perform so, you know, for God so He'll be pleased with you. Or you're trying to keep up appearances of being a follower of Jesus, right? Has this ever happened to you where you just read it, you close it, and you don't even remember what you just read? Because my hand's up, right? The psalmist declares in Psalm 119, verse 48, I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees. I honor and love your commands. Psalm 119, 97, just a few verses down. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. What do you do when you approach God's word mindlessly? What do you do, right? We have to physically slow down to meditate on what you've just read. Reflect on it, study it, think about it, listen to what the Holy Spirit prompts you. It's intentionally slowing down, giving yourself space and time to reflect. You ever wrestled with that? You're in a hurry and you need to, but you want to spend time, but you know there's the thing you got to get to, and but you have to shut that out and to say, okay, I need this moment with you. You have to tell yourself. You like have a conversation with yourself. Do what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Center your mind on these things. Ask God to help you in your time in the Word with Him, bringing all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and strength to that moment. Ask God to help you clear away the distractions so you can meditate. And oftentimes, if we're using the app on the phone itself is a distraction because you're reading your devotions and then a text comes through and then you're distracted by that. So maybe a good, put that away and grab a book, right? It's just a suggestion. Ask God to help you clear away the distractions so you can meditate. Notice, I'm not talking about you got to spend an hour. You got to spend your time with the Lord. You know what you need. So one wrong approach to God's Word is mindlessly. Secondly, you may approach the Word of God with others in mind. You approach Scripture with others in mind. You're reading in God's Word, and you automatically think of so-and-so, and they really need to do that, or they need to read this, right? You're reading your devotions. You happen to be in Matthew chapter 3 when Jesus says, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And instead of thinking of what you need to repent of, you have others in mind who need to repent. Am I talking to the choir today? Or you hear the pastor say something in a sermon and you hope that your spouse or your sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so heard that. And you don't physically turn your head and look at them, right? But secretly you're giving the pastor a high five in agreement because you have that person, oh, they need to hear that, right? We've all done that. Come on. We've all done that. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, and why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? How can you think of saying to your friend, hey, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Hypocrite. Jesus said the word hypocrite. It's not PC. He can't do that. He did. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. Jesus was extremely direct. He was extremely clear in this passage. Deal with what's in your life before offering to help others. So this morning, resist the urge or the temptation to read God's word and think of others who need to change or apologize or forgive, right? come to the Scriptures to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. You are responsible for you, and I am responsible for me. Leave the others in mind to the Holy Spirit. Trust God to speak to them. Pray for them. But don't come before the Lord with others in mind. That's the wrong approach. Third, you may approach the Word of God to blow the mind of others. To blow the mind of others. You approach God to impress, right? You're spending time with the Lord, you're studying, but all along you can't wait until small group or Sunday school or some gathering where you can blow the mind of others of what you've learned. Or you can't wait for someone to ask you about a topic so that you can impress them with your knowledge of God's Word. You're just ready to go. There was a young lawyer just out of law school. He was pleading his first case in South Carolina. What happened was a train had killed 24 pigs, and the young attorney was trying to impress the jury with the magnitude of the injury. Yes, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, 24 pigs. Imagine, 24 pigs. Twice the number there are in the jury box. I don't think he made a good impression that day. See, in trying to blow the mind of others, this approach to God's Word means that you're not reading the Word of God to personally grow, to change, to be more like Jesus, but to impress others how Christian you are, or how holy you are, how you memorize this verse and that verse, and you have just the right thing to say, all to impress others with your knowledge. And if you were to peel back, there's little or no humility in your approach to blowing the mind of others. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, declared in Proverbs 3:7, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." This doesn't mean that God won't use you to encourage or pray or share a verse with someone in need. That's not what we're saying. He will certainly use you if you listen. But approach God's Word to grow personally and not to impress others. You'll know in that moment when someone needs to hear something from the Lord through you. You'll know. The Holy Spirit will quicken your heart and say, "Hey, read that verse to them." And you're not trying to wow them. You're just sharing what God told you to share. There's a big difference. So instead of coming, approaching God's Word to blow the mind of others, come to God's Word to be impressed by God. Come to God's Word to be impressed by Him. I don't know, this is good preaching. I don't know about you guys, but you're looking at me like, is he almost done? I'm going to go another hour if you guys don't start. Fourth, you may approach the Word of God out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. You approach Scripture out of sight, out of mind. You're reading God's Word one day and you come across a difficult passage about forgiving someone. And that can be difficult. That can be hard to do at times. Am I right? And you've been hurt by this person or that person, and that wound is still fresh, and so you make an excuse why you don't have to forgive them. You go around God's Word to justify, your unwillingness to forgive. You just go around it. It's like you are physically taking scissors. For those listening on the website. And it's like you take the Word of God, and it's like you're saying, "Nope, I don't agree with that. I'm not doing that. I'm not agreeing with that one. That's way too hard. I'm not doing that. That's for somebody else. That's for pastors." we approach the Word of God and cut out the things we don't like or don't agree with. And you live your life with this holy holes in it, Bible, agreeing with some of it that you want to agree with or like, but not agreeing with other parts that you don't. Incidentally, this wasn't a real Bible, okay? So, I wanted to make my point. You approach God's Word, but skip, gloss over, cut out, black out the challenging passages like to love someone difficult, gossip and slandering others, or listening to others who do gossip and slander. Right? Skip over verses about giving and tithing. God understands my situation. Metaphorically, cutting out verses about living with integrity and honesty and purity. And we wonder why God isn't blessing or God isn't answering our prayers. Because we're cutting things out that we don't agree with. Maybe you're skipping over the truths that the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you specifically about. Not to condemn you, not to hit you on the head with a hammer, but to convict you, to redeem you, because He loves you and He cares about you. And it's like having the pair of scissors next to your Bible, and you're cutting out what you don't want or agree with, or you just won't do. Out of sight, out of mind. My Bible doesn't say to forgive others. I know it's weird. Which Bible are you reading, right? The half-brother of Jesus gets straight to the point in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But don't just listen to God's Word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the Word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. This gets right to the point. Don't just listen, but obey what God's Word says. God's Word will set you free. Now, I'm not naive. I know that about 2 hours from now, you will not remember this message. I don't know. Something about Sherwood and the food makes you lose what you've heard, right? Don't go to Sherwood, okay? Go to Chili's. No, I'm kidding. I understand, because I'm in this. I don't remember but a handful of messages in my life when I was a teenager or whatever. But I got fed that day. I got fed that day. The goal is to be challenged. I bet you, I say it every week, open your heart up to the Holy Spirit. God's Word will set you free. If you are a doer and not just a hearer, God will bless you. Not me, not Pastor, not Peace Chapel. God will bless you. God blesses doers, not hearers. The demons in hell believe in God. So it's not enough to believe. You act on that faith. God blesses doers. You act. You do. Okay, God, you're asking me to forgive. Wow. I can't do it in my own strength. But I will submit to you. You've got to help me. You begin to do what the Word of God says. What if we just did that? What if we just started doing what this book said? Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, those who hear the teaching of God and obey it, they are the ones who are truly blessed. How many truly want God's blessing? Okay, one. Thank you, Brenda. Be a doer of His Word. Obey it. Another word, another wrong approach to God's Word is to approach it out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. Lastly, you may approach the Word of God with the mind of Christ. This is what I feel like God gave me that early morning hours. You come to God's Word with the mind of Christ. What does that mean, to have the mind of Christ? Having the mind of Christ is approaching God's Word fully engaged with your heart, your mind, and your soul, and your strength. It's approaching Scripture to grow personally and not to grow to impress others. Approaching the Word of God is to be changed by all of Scripture, not just the parts you like or the parts you agree with. And there may be someone in this room that you struggle with this book. You struggle with what's inside this book. There's some things that are difficult to understand and some things I don't know about that. Seek the Lord. He is the source of all truth. He will help you to understand that difficult truth. You approach God's Word with the mind of Christ, and that would be coming on a Wednesday night, men, to grow together. Not condemning, it's because there's a desire to grow. We're going to study the book of Titus. It's one of the books in here, in the New Testament. For you ladies to come together and to study the names of God, pray those names. That's going to catch on. You're going to start praying the names of God, and God's like, oh yeah, I forgot I had that name. Thanks for reminding me. He's not ever going to do that, but you're going to pray those names. You're growing. Maybe you're... I want to challenge you. The Apostle Paul quotes Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. He says this in 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. You see, to have the mind of Christ doesn't mean you are faultless and start playing God in other people's lives. Don't do that. To have the mind of Christ means to look at life from Jesus' point of view. It's having His values and His desires in mind. How would Jesus treat this person? How would Jesus respond to this boss? How would Jesus do this work with these guys? What would Jesus think right now? What would Jesus say? Begin to have the mind of Christ. French scientists have succeeded in causing chickens to sound like quail. Researchers took tissue from the part of the Japanese quail brain thought to control the bird's call, and they implanted it in the brains of 5 chicken embryos. The experiment worked. Researchers say they hatched chicks that sounded like quail. You see, God has implanted the mind of Christ in you if you are a follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus, an apprentice of Jesus. The mind of Christ is to think God's thoughts and not think as the world thinks. You live in this world. You know what the world thinks, and that's why reading God's Word will let you know what God thinks. You have a new capacity to think and talk and act more like Jesus Himself. The right way to approach God's Word is to have the mind of Christ. 5 approaches to God's Word. This is what I felt God lay on my heart and to share today. This is why, as your pastor, I feel so strongly that we know Scripture, that we build our lives upon it. I've been doing that since I was 7 years old. Has my life been perfect? Have I gone through difficult things? Have I experienced disappointment and loss and grief? Yes, I'm human. But I'm trying and continue to build my life on the truths of this book. And trying to live my life like Jesus. And how I think and act and lead and pastor as a husband, as a dad, as a friend. That's why we build our lives on this truth, that we approach God's word with the right intention, the right motive, with the right heart that is open to change and to grow. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, the whole Bible, not parts, the whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, right? Showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way, every part of it. And I love the parts, especially of the people that failed, that blew it. Their mistakes weren't glossed over. We can read it. David, right? He messed up big time. It's in there, so we can learn and grow from that. The Word of God has power to transform our hearts. We used to believe that. Do we still believe it? It used to transform our hearts. But do we want that? Do we want to stay as we are, unchanged? To be ineffective in our walk with God? To live without the power of God? So which of these five approaches to God's Word do you have? Instead of approaching God's word mindlessly, developing a plan, you know, develop a plan, a habit, a time, a place, every day where you read God's word. I've mentioned this before. There's a chair in my study at home. That's where I'm with the Lord. I shut the door and it's dark and I'm just with the presence of the Lord. It's not to check it off your to-do list, but to be fully engaged with the Creator who loves you and wants to use you and move in your life. Instead of approaching God's word with others in mind, come to the Scripture to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. God wants to speak to you and me. Truly listen. Do you believe that? Resist the urge when approaching the Word of God to blow the mind of others, to try to impress them with what you know. Stay humble. Instead, be impressed by God and His word. Be impressed by God. Instead of picking and choosing and cutting out what you do or don't believe in Scripture, approaching it, you know, out of sight, out of mind, choose to submit to His Word, no matter how painful it is and how difficult it can be. Yes, I've wrestled with things in this book. There's been times that I've had to forgive. God was there. He was with me. He's with you. Become a doer, not just a hearer, and God will bless you. The best approach to God's word is to have the mind of Christ. Looking at life from Jesus' perspective, sharing His values and desires and love, thinking God thoughts instead of what and how the world thinks. So let me ask you a question this morning, a series of questions. Do you have a plan? Do you have a habit, a place, a time that you read God's word, just you and God? What is it? If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. If you don't have a place, start one today. Do you need God to help you focus, to be fully engaged with Him? Ask. Are you willing to be open to the Holy Spirit as you read to grow for you? Trust the Holy Spirit to speak to others about what they need from Him. Trust the Holy Spirit to do that. Will you be humble in your knowledge of God's word, not trying to impress? You see, God will use you to help or encourage others if you're humble. Will you submit to the word of God completely, even the difficult parts, trusting God to work in you and through you? Commit to being a doer, putting into practice what Scripture says. Commit today to not just be a hearer in one ear and out the other, but be a doer. Do you have the mind of Christ? Do you see the world as Jesus sees it? Does what breaks God's heart break yours? Why or why not? Do your lost family, people you know, burden you? What needs to change in your life? zoom out this morning, what would our church family, what would our marriages and our families and our friendships, what would this world look like if we approached the Word of God with the mind of Christ? What if we started doing this book and not just coming to hear a nice little sermon on Sundays and going home unchanged by the power of God? To think and talk like Christ, we must walk with Christ. This is for all of us this morning. In the devotional, Our Daily Bread, an author wrote this. He prayed this: O Lord, forgive us for not using the good mind you have given us. Please help us to spend more time in your word, absorbing your thoughts, so that we can think, talk, and live more and more like you. That's a great prayer. Let's pray together.